A beautiful Tuesday on the Florida Blue practice fields as the Jacksonville Jaguars continue OTAs number 5 out of 10. And welcome to Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush Mini, J.P. Shadrick with you. The Jags back on the practice fields today. These are the dog days of OTAs. The injuries starting to pile up a bit. It's easier to count the receivers on the field today rather than off. 7 receivers missed practice nursing nagging injuries. More on that group in a moment. Geno Hayes, Jaguars linebacker, out today, working on that knee that he had repaired in the offseason. Not a huge deal there. Quarterback Blake Bortles bounced back today from a tough practice on Monday. He missed Thursday's practice last week going to L.A. for that rookie premiere. He really didn't want to go to it. He wanted to practice instead. He came back Monday, did not have the cleanest of practices, but head coach Gus Bradley said Bortles took it upon himself to make an adjustment.
Blake came and saw me yesterday. Before we even said anything, he said, you know what, I didn't have a very good practice yesterday. And he was in spending time with Jed and with Frank and spent a lot of time with those guys. And then to see him bounce back, executed. It looked like he was back to attacking. So really cool to see that from him.
Well, quarterback has to have somebody to throw to, of course. Let's get to those receivers today. 7 missed with injuries on Tuesday. Doss, Thomas, Brown, Sanders, Robinson, and Lee were all out. That's 6. Cecil Shorts III felt a little something in the calf today. So it was up to the remaining 4 receivers on the roster. Bumpus, Copeland, Hearns, and Taylor, with an opportunity to work with the first couple of units and put something on tape today. Short said this is the time of year to rest when there are any concerns.
We don't want you missing anything, but you have to miss anything. Rather you miss now than any time during the season. So a lot of precautionary stuff, but I think we'll be fine in the long run.
Guys like Cecil, you know, the coaches know what those guys can do. So for some of the newer guys, and, you know, I only got here midseason last year. So, you know, the more reps I can get, the better. And, you know, so I got to take advantage of every single rep.
We welcome in Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. And John, about these receivers, it gives a chance for young guys or guys with less experience to get some very valuable time today.
Well, at one point today, you're looking out there and Chad Bumpus, Kerry Taylor, these are guys who realistically are going to be fighting for a final receiver spot if they keep 5 or 6. So it's clearly an opportunity. And as we talked to Kerry Taylor in the locker room, it's an opportunity that a guy in that situation has to take advantage of, because there's going to be a limit to the amount of times they're running with the ones, a limit to the amount of times some of these guys are even running with the twos. So it's a huge opportunity. And certainly today, the Jaguars receivers core looked a lot different than fans hope it'll look in the fall.
The one veteran player missing today, Cecil Shorts III, had a little nagging calf thing happen today. You talked to him for an article that went up today on Jaguars.com. Is it a setback for him? Does this count as that?
Well, my theme all through OTAs has been, let's keep all these in perspective. So I'm not going to say that being out the last half of an OTA practice is a setback. But for Cecil, I know this kind of thing's on his mind. He wants to be on the field. He wants to be healthy. He talked a lot in the story that I wrote about, he thinks that's the one thing that can hold him back, is not being out there. So no, today, one day isn't a setback. But I know from Cecil's perspective, this is something that he wants to keep to a minimum.
It sounds like for a guy like Allen Robinson, the rookie out of Penn State, that his might be a little bit longer, maybe even the end of that mandatory minicamp if he's back on the field at all this offseason. Do you see that one being a little deeper than that?
Yeah, it'll be deeper. But again, you know, all day yesterday on Twitter, I'm getting messages, people sort of blowing this thing up. It's a big deal, but I was thinking as I was driving in this morning, in 1995, when I first started covering the league, I'm not even sure we know about Allen Robinson's injury yet. And I'm not even sure that it's more than a story on, you know, D8. Remember when newspapers were a thing?
I do.
D8 was the terminology.
Yes.
So, so the point is, when it broke yesterday, it's all over Pro Football Talk. It's a main story for a while, and that's the perspective we're dealing with. Information is at such a premium, and it sometimes lacks perspective. So, yes, they want Allen Robinson on the field, but I don't think we need to be talking about him being on IR yet. It's somewhere in the middle. So keep it in perspective. That's probably the theme all throughout OTAs.
It is June 3rd. Everybody just take a step back a little bit. Now, that said, Thursday's practice, the 6th OTA.
Now, that one's a big deal, David.
It's open to the
public.
That's
a big deal. So.
Gates open at 10:15, a 10:50 start time. And if we have just a little bit of the energy from the last open practice, it'd be huge.
Probably not fair to expect 6,000 people. That was a Saturday at a rookie camp a couple of weeks ago. But as Gus said, this team appreciates any fans that get out there. And I think it'll be an exciting thing. anytime the fans are coming into contact with this team right now, anytime they get a chance to see Gus, it's a lot of fun. I would expect nothing different on Thursday.
Well done, as always, John.
Thanks, JP.
Let's hear from senior correspondent Brian Sexton. Yes, the Jaguars have immediate needs and a long-term vision. He says GM Dave Caldwell has been able to balance both.
A rookie quarterback creates a certain buzz, an energy that brings even the most casual football fan to practice. Witness 6,200-plus for rookie minicamp. I like the Blake Bortles pick a lot, and for a lot of reasons, but he wasn't my favorite selection in this draft. When Dave Caldwell pulled the trigger on cornerback Aaron Colvin from Oklahoma, I got excited. It takes a measure of guts and confidence for a second-year GM to use a fourth-round pick on a guy who isn't going to play this fall, especially on a team that lacks playmakers. The Titans, you might recall, found their starting center in the fourth round last year, and that's a position the Jaguars needed help at. Colvin tore the ACL in his knee working out of the Senior Bowl in Mobile in January. The Jaguars were already impressed by what they had seen from him at Oklahoma, and their personal interaction with him cemented his status. Caldwell did what the very best of GMs in this game do. He made a decision for the long term. Colvin isn't likely to play this year, but Dave and Gus Bradley know too well how tough it is to find top quality corners, so they decided to lay a bet down on Colvin in 2015, who was the second best corner on their board. Gus was the defensive coordinator in Seattle in 2010 when the Seahawks drafted Walter Thurman under the very same circumstances. Thurman played a key role in their Super Bowl run 4 years later, after Brandon Browner was suspended by the NFL. Thurman was what Colvin will be. Call him a jar on the shelf. The best organizations in football are always thinking long-term, always collecting jars for the shelf. Short-term thinking can disable a franchise. I love the Colvin pick.
Jaguars back on the practice field Thursday for the sixth OTA. It is open to the public, the only open practice during OTAs. Gates open at 10:15, remember. 10:50 is when practice starts. Admission is free, but you must register. Jaguars.com/register to get a ticket to get in for Thursday. That's it for today on Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush Mini.